Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thank you, Brian Maines, for that introduction, and welcome to Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. In yesterday's broadcast, we introduced a book titled The Grace Awakening by Charles R. Swindoll. And Swindoll was a pastor in Southern California in Fullerton and now pastors a church in Frisco, Texas. The reason why I wanted to introduce this book to our listeners, because I came across it in the mid-2000s, it was a text that we were using in a small group. And as I was going through this book, it just was so apparent that this book was incredible when it comes to the subject of grace, that I think for a Latter-day Saint who really wants to know what Christians believe about this, I would strongly recommend this book. If you're a Christian who might not be fully understanding what grace is really all about, I would strongly recommend this book. But we are looking at chapter 3, a chapter that's titled, Isn't Grace Risky? Because that is one of the accusations that we often hear from our LDS friends, that they think, in our understanding of grace, that somehow gives believers a license to sin. That if you thought that your salvation was secure, that you would automatically take advantage of that and want to live a hedonistic life. And certainly that is not the message that the New Testament is trying to get across to us. In yesterday's show, we were introducing, or I should say Chuck Swindoll was introducing, Martin Lloyd-Jones, who is a British minister, and he comments on this subject, and Swindoll felt that it was so important what Jones says about this that he includes a very large portion in his book in chapter 3 under Isn't Grace Risky? So we're going to look at that because he starts off by asking the question that Paul asks in Romans 6. And that's important, folks, because the reason Paul raises the question at the beginning of Romans 6, and he'll raise it again in verse 15 in Romans chapter 6, is because he is anticipating that his readers are going to ask this question. So he heads them off at the pass. After he discusses what grace is all about, he knows, now you're going to say, and if you raise that question, it means you understood what Paul was trying to get across. If you don't raise that question, go back and reread it because you missed the point.
Right.
And this is what he says on page 33 when he's quoting Martin Lloyd-Jones. This is Chuck Swindoll quoting Martin Lloyd-Jones.
If it is true that where sin abounded, grace has much more abounded, well then, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound yet further? First of all, let me make a comment, to me a very important and vital comment. The true preaching of the gospel of salvation by grace alone always leads to the possibility of this charge being brought against it. There is no better test as to whether a man is really preaching the New Testament gospel of salvation than this, that some people might misunderstand it and misinterpret it to mean that it really amounts to this, that because you are saved by grace alone, it does not matter at all what you do.
Let me stop you there, because I'm sure there's a lot of Christians listening to that right now going, I get that all the time. Well, you are to be commended then. If you are a Christian and you find that people are asking that very question, it shows that you're on the right track. So don't be discouraged by that. You're doing something that is right. We hear that all the time.
Sure.
When we are trying to present the gospel to people on the streets, we hear them respond just this way, that somehow what we are saying is that it's okay to go out and do whatever you want to do. Now, sorry for interrupting, Eric. Go ahead.
He goes on and says, you can go on sinning as much as you like because it will all redound all the more glory of grace. That is a very good test of gospel preaching. If my preaching and presentation of the gospel of salvation does not expose it to that misunderstanding, then it is not the gospel.
Then he goes on in the next paragraph to say, if a man preaches justification by works, no one would ever raise this question. And he's right.
Right.
If you are going to preach a justification by works, nobody would dare ask, well, does that mean that we can sin, that grace may abound? And of course they wouldn't ask that question. Let me get back to what Jones says. In the next sentence, he says, if a man's preaching is, and he's quoting, if you want to be Christians, and if you want to go to heaven, you must stop committing sins. You must take up good works. And if you do so regularly and constantly, and do not fail to keep on at it, you will make yourselves Christians. You will reconcile yourselves to God, and you will go to heaven.
You know, has he been in Utah?
It sounds like he has been walking the streets of Salt Lake City, doesn't it? He goes on to say, obviously, a man who preaches in that strain would never be liable to this misunderstanding. Nobody would say to such a man, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because the man's whole emphasis is just this, that if you go on sinning, you are certain to be damned. And only if you stop sinning can you save yourselves. So that misunderstanding could never arise. Now, I want to make a point. I'm going to quote Spencer W. Kimmel to show just exactly how those who misunderstand the gospel raise that very question. Now, the fact that Kimmel said what I'm about to quote tells me Kimmel doesn't get it. He doesn't understand the gospel. This is the 12th president of the Mormon Church. One of the most fallacious doctrines originated by Satan and propounded by man is that man is saved alone by the grace of God, that belief in Jesus Christ alone is all that is needed for salvation. Now, that's the part we normally quote. You've probably heard us on this show quote that portion many, many times, but I want to read the rest because it's pertinent to our topic today. He goes on, this is in The Miracle of Forgiveness. You can find it on pages 206 and 207. Kimball goes on to say, along with all the other works necessary for man's exaltation in the kingdom of God, this could rule out the need for repentance. It could give license for sin. And since it does not require a man to work out his salvation, could accept instead lip service, deathbed repentance, and shallow, meaningless confession of sin. Thank you, Mr. Kimball. You just proved you haven't a clue what the gospel's all about.
Well, the title of our chapter in Swindoll is Isn't Grace Risky? Mm-hmm. And he's saying yes.
Okay. Let's go on to that next paragraph.
And it says this, nobody has ever brought this charge against the Church of Rome, but it was brought frequently against Martin Luther. Indeed, that was precisely what the Church of Rome said about the preaching of Martin Luther. They said, quote, this man who was a priest has changed the doctrine in order to justify his own marriage and his own lust, end quote, and so on. This man, they say, is an antinomian, and that is heresy. That is the very charge they brought against him. It was also brought against George Whitefield 200 years ago. It is the charge that formal dead Christianity, if there is such a thing, has always brought against the startling, staggering message that God justifies the ungodly.
And that's exactly what he does do. He does justify the ungodly. We are not saying that that gives us a license to sin. We are not encouraging people to do things that they know dishonor God and his glory. Exactly just the opposite. That's why we want to live this life, so to give God honor and glory, a righteous life, a holy life unto him.
Well, especially since what has been given to us as the gift of grace is so valuable. And if you realize how much it costs that person to give you the gift, it's going to be of a gratitude, not out of obligation.
Read that last paragraph, Eric.
It says, that is my comment, and it is a very important comment for preachers. I would say to all preachers, if your preaching of salvation has not been misunderstood in that way, then you had better examine your sermons again, and you had better make sure that you are really preaching the salvation that is offered in the New Testament to the ungodly, to the sinner, to those who are dead in trespasses and sins, to those who are enemies of God. There is this kind of dangerous element about the true presentation of the doctrine of salvation.
And to that, Swindoll closes this portion of this chapter, Isn't Grace Risky?, by saying, to Martin Lloyd-Jones, grace was not only risky, it was downright dangerous. He was clearly convinced it could be easily misunderstood. Meaning what, Swindoll says? Well, some people will take advantage of it. They will misrepresent it. They will go to such an extreme that they will promote the erroneous idea that you can go on sinning as much as you like. To all fellow ministers, I must add my voice to that of Martin Lloyd-Jones. If you claim to be a messenger of grace, if you think you are really preaching grace, yet no one is taking advantage of it, maybe you haven't preached it hard enough or strong enough. I can assure you of this. Grace-killing ministers will never have that charge brought against them. They make sure of that. Now, that portion, Eric, that I read there, if you claim to be a messenger of grace, if you think you are really preaching grace, yet no one is taking advantage of it, maybe you haven't preached it hard enough or strong enough. A Mormon's probably pulling their hair out on that one.
Uh-huh.
But really, that is the result of it. And a person can misunderstand this freedom that we are given in grace. There's no doubt about that. We are admitting that. But just because, as you said earlier, just because someone can abuse this marvelous gift of grace does not mean that this doctrine, as it's taught in the New Testament and has been understood for years by us as Christians, needs to be jettisoned or that it's false. That's the wrong conclusion to draw. Certainly, you will find bad examples. But look at this. I find Mormons who are not very good examples, so maybe I should jettison their concept of grace and their emphasis on works.
Or when you talk to them and they admit that they're not doing all that they're supposed to be doing, doesn't that take away from the message of Mormonism?
Well, it goes back to what we've been saying all along. Many Mormons will tell you what you're supposed to do in order to receive God's best. They will spell it out for you. And then when you ask them if they are doing it, watch them. It's like a deer in the headlights because none of them are doing
it. It's impossible.
It's impossible.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Kriegel Publishers' new book, Answering Mormons' Questions, written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Included is a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. This is a great resource for those who want to share their Christian faith. Answering Mormons' Questions is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or at mrm.org.